This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments today in what's shaping up to be the biggest free speech case of the term. At issue is whether a graphic designer in Colorado has a First Amendment right to refuse to create wedding websites for same-sex couples. If it sounds like deja vu, well, you're right. It's incredibly similar to that Supreme Court decision a few years ago involving a baker, also in Colorado, who refused to make cakes for same-sex weddings. But that 2018 ruling only determined that the state of Colorado had been openly hostile to the baker's religious beliefs. The justices really punted on the bigger questions over freedom of religion and speech versus anti-discrimination laws. The court heard arguments over those bigger issues today, and the justices seem ready to side with the web designer. It's Monday, so we're going to talk about this case now with Jessica Levinson, our legal here on Press Play. She's also a professor at Loyola Law School. Hello.
Hello.
All right. So let's go back in time to 2018 and the decision in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. How is this case different from that one?
Well, Madeline, you're right that it's so similar. And even the fact that both plaintiffs came from Colorado and that we're dealing with Colorado's anti-discrimination law. But that case dealt with both the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. And as you mentioned, the court punted in that case. What do we mean by that? It meant that in that case, there was a civil rights commission, a state civil rights commission, that initially reviewed the complaint by the cake shop owner. And what the court found in that case was that when the civil rights commission reviewed that complaint, they did so with hostility towards the cake maker, and they, in fact, violated his religious rights. But they didn't as a result. It allowed the Supreme Court to not get to the big question that they're going to have to tackle after today, likely, which is what happens when there's one of these state anti-discrimination laws and there's somebody who runs a business who's saying, look, I can't comply with the state anti-discrimination law, but also protect my freedom of speech because you're going to force me to say something that I don't want to say.
Okay, let me play a clip from Justice Brett Kavanaugh. He's questioning the attorney for the website designer, who, by the way, isn't protesting a specific website that she has had to design. This is all a hypothetical, right?
It's all hypothetical. It's a would-be website designer who's saying, well, I haven't designed websites because I couldn't under the state law. And so what her attorneys are arguing is that her speech is chilled and that this is a valid pre-enforcement case. Others are saying, look, this just isn't ripe for review yet. She hasn't had to refuse anybody's service yet.
Right. Okay. So here he is, Justice Kavanaugh, questioning the attorney, Kristen Wagoner.
So why are you right about how you characterize website designers, or put another way, why are they different? And you've gotten this question, but why are they different from, say, restaurants or caterers, for example?
Because they're creating speech. In those other examples, speech is not at issue. That is creating speech, announcing a wedding or announcing anything. And art is different.
So what is she saying? That a cake is not free speech, but a website is, or covered by free speech laws?
Well, what she's saying, or at least that what a restaurant serves, let's take a cake out of it, maybe because of that cake shop case, but that what a restaurant serves when they make you your hamburger or your pasta, that's not speech. But in this case, there is speech that's at issue. And there was a lot of questions about this, because I think what everybody recognizes is that if the court does, in fact, rule for the plaintiff, the would-be website designer, then depending on how they write that opinion, it could have implications for all of these other public accommodation laws. And you don't want a situation where restaurants can refuse service on the basis of race or disability. And you don't want to basically undermine decades of anti-discrimination laws. And that's part of what they were asking about in terms of trying to kind of figure out, one, is there speech at issue? And two, whose speech is it? And that's why we heard a lot of questions about hotels and barbecues and restaurants. That's what all of that was trying to get at. Basically, how can we confine this ruling to just about people like Lori Smith, who's a would-be website designer?
Okay, so let's hear from a more liberal justice, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, also questioning the same attorney.
What's the difference between that and I don't believe black people and white people should get married?
What matters is what the objection is that the speaker is being asked to create and whether the objection
is... that's my objection. I don't believe they should be telling their story.
If you don't believe they should be telling their story and what they're asking you to do is tell their story, then you don't have to do that.
There is no line on race, there is no line on disability, ethnicity, none of the protected categories.
And then what did the lawyer say to that? Did she agree? Nothing
I
to
actually,
be protected or nobody?
I thought she did not have a response to Justice Sotomayor's line of questioning in that case, which is basically kind of what we were talking about before. How do you limit this particular decision? And what I heard Justice Sotomayor, frankly, I thought land a very, very powerful point, which is if Lori Smith is right and she can say, I don't agree with this speech, you government are compelling me to speak, then that's not just about same-sex couples and getting married. It's also about, and she used a specific example of what about two disabled people who might want to get married, but you think disabled people shouldn't be allowed to, or it violates your belief to think that disabled people should be married. What about interracial couples? And I really didn't hear a response to that other than, well, I don't think that's likely to occur. That's not a legal response. That's a, I don't think that's going to come up response.
But what about a hypothetical on the other side? What if it's a website designer who doesn't want to design a site for neo-Nazis?
And we certainly heard that as well. And I think part of what that brings up is this question of on what basis does the would-be website designer say, I don't want to do this? Is it because she doesn't agree with the speech, in which case her First Amendment rights are protected? Or is it because she doesn't agree with serving people of that particular status, of LGBTQ status, at which point she has to comply with the Colorado law? When it comes to the neo-Nazis, that is not a protected status under Colorado's law. So it's a very long way of saying, first, you have to get to the question of, is this speech? Whose speech is it? And then how much speech are we going to protect?
Okay, what if they were same-sex neo-Nazis?
That is an amazing hypothetical, which Madeline, given all of the wild hypotheticals this morning, actually nobody brought up. There were so many, I'm going to be honest, pretty crazy hypotheticals. In that case, oh my gosh, I think it still comes down to, what's your problem? Is your problem you're forcing me, government, to speak? Or is your problem you're forcing me, government, to serve people I don't want to serve?
Our legal eagle, Jessica Levinson, not punting that question. She teaches at Loyola Law School and she joins us each week. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, the art photographer Nan Golden is the subject of a new documentary by Laura Poitras.
To be a woman, to be sexual, to be rebellious, that these are all things that were stigmatized.
How Golden challenged Big Pharma and its role in the opioid epidemic. That is next on Press Play.